Well, a very good morning to you. Lovely to see all of you who are here in the building. Lovely to know that there are many more who are watching at home or with others. And God is with us as we seek for him in his word. So the passage we're looking at this morning is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. But I think I'm going to read from verse 7 and then pray as we start. 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We pray, O Lord, that you would pour out your grace into our lives, your direction, your power, as we look at your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was thinking about the number 6 this week, which seems to be, of all numbers, a number that's big at the moment. So if we can have the first screen up. We've been talking about distancing being 2 meters, but if you think about it in feet, we're supposed to say 6 feet away from each other. That's a rather horrible kind of six, isn't it? Then there's this new thing that's come in, the rule of 6. And I don't think anyone particularly likes that, limiting the number who can be together outside or inside to 6. Very difficult if you've got a household of more than 6 to start with, but not really very nice for anyone. We long to have bigger groups, and we can't, and that's really frustrating. And then another 6 that we've heard about too. The Prime Minister saying that things will be like this probably for another 6 months. And actually what I think he meant was not that things might not get worse. What he meant was they're not going to get better for 6 months. And put all those 6s together and you've got something which is really very, very depressing, isn't it? And I think a lot of people thought, 6 months? Can I cope with this for 6 months? Can I go on living with the rule of 6? Can I go on keeping 6 feet away from so many people? I thought I'd got through the first 6 months, and now I've got another 6 months in front of me. And as Matt has said, for those in particular who are coming as students to Cambridge, back to Cambridge, coming to Cambridge for the first time as students, some of you who've gone away from Eden and are at other universities, it's a particularly difficult time to be a student. And we're hearing these difficult stories from different parts of the country. And our hearts really go out to you, and we really want to help you with that. What are some of the ways we can try and help ourselves? Well, here's one thing not to do. There's a new word that has been invented. It's called doom scrolling. Doom scrolling. And doom scrolling is defined as when you keep scrolling through your social media news, looking for the most recent upsetting news about the latest catastrophe. The amount of time spent doing this is directly proportional to how much worse you're going to feel after you've done. Some of us spending a lot of time online reading different kinds of news media, and it is making us feel angry and sad and as though it's hard to cope. There was an old film with starring a set of brothers called the Marx Brothers. It was a comedy, and in this film, someone goes to see the doctor and says, I've got this real problem. I've got this real pain in my head. What should I do? And the doctor says, well, I think the first thing to do is to stop hitting your head against the wall all the time. Well, someone has written about that and said, getting hit with bad news every day is like suffering a blunt force trauma to the head. If one of the Marx Brothers was your doctor, his prescription would not surprisingly be to stop hitting your head against a brick wall. The problem now is our phones and the internet. That's not what not to do. What should we do, though? Well, I want to suggest to you that there is a bigger and better and more important rule of six, and it's God's rule of six, and you're going to get it in two stages. The first is just a statement, which I think is vital for us. Next slide, please. God has a rule of six for us in this current situation, and it's this. He will give us enough grace. I had to go through that several times to make sure I got six words and not five words or seven words, but I got it, and I think it's for us. God's rule of six is, for the current situation in which we find ourselves, he will give us enough grace. Right at the beginning of 1 Peter, in the kind of opening greeting, the equivalent of us just saying, hi, how are you doing? Peter has his own Christian version of that, and he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Every year at this time of year, the conkers start falling off the chestnut trees. You can come back to me now, Andrew. And I love when I go out for a walk to find a conker. I just have this thing. It's quite childish, really. I like to find one. I like to find one of those ones that has a flat surface on it and a little bit of an edge. I have no idea, but I like to have it in my pocket, and as I'm walking, I just like to rub it like that. I don't know why. And I went out the other day, and there wasn't just one, but there were loads and loads of conkers. Loads and loads and loads. They weren't all my favourite kind, but actually any of them would have done. I only needed one, and there were hundreds out there, scattered all over the ground. That's God's grace, which he wants to give to us. He has abundant grace for us in this situation. He has enough grace. He actually has more than enough grace for us. I want you to hear that this morning and to start to feel it and to receive it and to believe it and to turn away from the banging your head against the wall of scrolling down the negative news feeds and comment sections, the ones that say the government's got it all wrong, that some of us are reading far too often for our own mental health, the ones that are just reflecting miserably on what's happening, and we're banging our head against the walls of these things, and we need to turn to the Word of God, which says that God has grace in abundance. There's more than enough. And then there's something which draws us into the passage we're looking at this morning, which is that his grace comes to us through one another. It's not just directly him to us. Now, our relationship, our direct relationship with God matters immensely. And again, you need to recalibrate, some of you, the amount of time we're spending on the negative news stories and all the social media feeds. Turn away from banging our heads against those things and into the pure Word of God and into our own prayer times. Those things matter. But that alone is not going to bring you all the grace God wants to give you. It will come through one another as we serve ourselves in the fellowship of the church. Let's look again at verses 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So the overall thing of God's rule of six is that God has enough grace for us. But then there are six points that show us how that comes to us through one another. And the first is just this. Next slide, Andrew. He has given us all gifts. Hear it again. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. Everyone has a gift. Now, I've got this this picture. This is a primary school orchestra. There are all sorts of people in it, and they've all got different instruments. And for the orchestra to work properly, every single instrument is needed. Incidentally, Sarah saw these slides in advance, and she said, oh, are you in that? Well, I'm not actually, but children, if you want to look at it and think, you could try and work out which was the one that looks most like I might have looked like in 1977, because I did look a bit like that, and I had hair a bit like that, in fact, slightly longer. But the point is this, every single one of us has some sort of spiritual gift. If you're a Christian, you are given a gift by God. Now, there are many, many different kinds of gifts in the New Testament. We'll be thinking about some of the varieties of them later. But actually, every single one of us has a gift, and it is given to us. It is part of God's grace. We are stewards of God's grace. That means being in charge of something for God. And we use our gifts to bring grace to other people. Let's take a break for a moment now. And if you're with someone else, why not ask them what they think your gifts are? If you're on your own, maybe you could ask God, or maybe you could take a moment just to write a quick message to someone and say, hey, what do you think my spiritual gifts are? So God's rule of six is that he has enough grace for us, and that he has given us all gifts so that we can be a channel, a means of grace for other people. Second of the 6 points. This may surprise you, but I put it here deliberately. God wants you to let other people use their gifts to help you. The thing only works if we are open to other people serving us and using their gifts in a way that will bring blessing into our lives. Some of us don't like being helped very much. Some of us don't like to admit that we have a need of some kind. Some of us like to think that we can sort ourselves out. There may be a few things other people can do, but essentially we just want to be a kind of rugged individual who is self-sufficient. That's not a Christian position. The Christian position is that we are part of a body and a family in which we admit that we haven't got it all made, in which we admit that we can't do it on our own, and in which we open ourselves to being served by other people. And one of the most important things that some of us can do is to start moving away from the idea that we can live the Christian life on our own and just opening up to other people and asking for their help. And that is especially important at a time like this when we're under unprecedented kinds of pressure. To be ready to ask someone else to help us practically and bring something round if we're quarantined. Oh, someone will say immediately, everyone says, oh, I don't want to be a fuss. If you find yourself thinking that, I don't want to make a fuss, I don't want to put someone else out, I want you in the next 6 months to think very carefully about whether that's the voice of the Holy Spirit or whether that is the voice of Satan who's trying to prevent you fulfilling this part of being part of the body of Christ. Because one of the ways we serve other people is to allow them to serve us. And for some of us who find it perhaps a little finding things a little bit difficult, but actually are a bit stuck behind some protective walls that we have. One of the things God, I believe, wants to do in this difficult time of coronavirus and lockdown is for us to be regularly opening up to someone. Find someone. Find one other person, perhaps, or a group. Form a little prayer partnership, perhaps, over the telephone if you can't meet in person, to be confiding in them how you're doing and saying, I'm finding this hard. A church is a place, a family, where everyone should have at least one other person who they can say, I'm finding it hard to, and to receive their help. And if you're someone who consistently just gives to others, you need this all the more, and you should seek it within the family of the church. That's what we're here for. But having said that, and this is the third of God's rule of six, he'll give us enough grace, and he will give us enough grace by using our gifts to help other people. By being ready to serve. By being ready to use whatever it is God has given us, whatever kinds of opportunities, to serve others so that we can bring grace into their lives. And for some of us, this will mean taking an initiative with someone else. There are ways that we can't perhaps serve people at the moment because we can't meet in the normal ways in all our normal meeting structures and so on. But there are ways we can connect. We can pick up the phone. We can send a message. We can send a text or an email. We can drop something round on the door or just bang on the door and at a distance take an initiative and have a conversation with someone. They're quite likely to be there. Most people are at home most of the time at the moment. For us to get through this next 6 months, if we've got that kind of time frame, and to do so in a way that brings glory to God, I believe God wants us to be refocusing some of what we do into this mutual care of one another, in which we're open to receive help and in which we're ready to give it to other people, using our gifts to help others. Well, we're going to take another short break, and there's a couple of questions. How could you use your gifts to serve others? How can you let someone else use their gifts to help you? Well, the natural question at this point is, well, what are you talking about? What are my gifts? And I've made some suggestions of some basic things that I think apply to all Christians. But it's right for us just to think about what are more individual gifts for a moment now. And what Peter does in verse 11 is to give two basic kinds of heading for different kinds of gifts. He says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And in the church, there are different kinds of gifts which involve speaking. All sorts of things. God wants us to use our speaking gifts to communicate his own true and loving words to each other. Now, perhaps one of the most obvious of the speaking gifts is preaching. And there are many people in Eden who are gifted and who preach for us from time to time. One or two of us are employed by the church to do that. And that is a role that's given to us. And it's a wonderful thing to be given. And churches need preaching. But it's not simply about preaching and teaching, just one person speaking to a lot of other people on a Sunday morning at some other time. Speaking gifts can be used in all sorts of ways. You use a speaking gift when you lead a Bible study. You use a speaking gift of a kind when you're part of a Bible study and you speak up and you make a contribution. If you're a child and you're in a children's group in church, maybe online at the moment, and the person who's leading the group is speaking, but then you say something that comes from God's word, you are speaking, and that's a really important thing to do, and quite young children can do this. You shouldn't think it's just for grown-ups or for people who are part of the church staff or leadership or something like this. Notice how Peter describes it, or says how it should be. They should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. This kind of gift is not offering our own opinion. This gift is being the mouthpiece for what God wants to say to others. And what God wants to say to others is words of grace. And do you realize in this difficult time that we have, you can be that person who brings a word of grace into someone else's life. You should never underestimate how powerful it can be to quote scripture, to quote from the Bible to someone in a really loving, caring way. Bringing a Bible verse to them when they're in trouble. Sending it to them. We had I had a teacher when I was learning to be a minister, and he was called Dr. Larson. He used to teach preaching, and he would almost always finish any kind of email or letter or anything like that with a little Bible reference. He wouldn't write it out. He would leave you to look it up, but he'd have a Bible reference, and they were wonderful things. It was a wonderful thing to give to people. In this difficult time that we're in, let's all of us, be thinking about how we can be speaking God's word to encourage other people. And boys and girls, you can do this with your parents. If you know a Bible verse and you want to encourage or help your parents, you can quote it to them. And that will be a huge source of grace to them. It will be part of how God is helping them through. The second kind of gift Peter talks about is a serving gift. If anyone serves, they should do so with the grace, with the strength God provides. And here he's talking about us using our serving gifts to help other people, in all sorts of practical ways. So much of church life depends on people serving. I just look around the room this morning. We've got someone on the camera. We've had several people playing music. We've got people operating the computer and all sorts of other things up in the balcony. We have people stewarding. Behind it, there is this great mastermind called Steve Wright, who's using his serving gifts to make sure that it all happens. And we could talk about all sorts of other things in church life that just rely on people serving. Not the speaking gift that means sharing the word of God with someone, but serving in a practical, helpful way. And there are more specialized gifts, like being able to operate a computer or being able to look after the church finances, like Manny does, and things like that. But actually, in so many ways, all of us can find some way of serving other people practically. And again, at the moment, for us to get through this 6 months in a way that glorifies God, let's be seeking out the practical ways we can help others. And I know that if you're frustrated at the moment because the normal way you serve isn't open to you, it may well be that there's something else, and I'd encourage you to get in touch with the church office. I believe in writing thinking we could do with more people, for example, volunteering to be stewards for the number of services that we're now offering in the week. If that is you and it would be appropriate for you, why not offer so that there will be more variety of the people who can serve in that way? Oh, someone may say, well, how can I do this? I mean, life's hard enough already without having to serve in church. Well, we notice what Peter says. This is through the strength which God supplies. As we use our gifts to serve him, we will receive a surging energy that helps us do more than we would have done anyway. He promises that. But he adds something else, and this is really very beautiful and special. He says, this is so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Listen to how one person describes this. At the end of all this, what is the point? What is the goal? That in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. What a thought! That God is not just waiting to be praised in heaven, but when we arrive in heaven, but willing to be praised on earth in our little lives, willing to be praised in our service and after it, willing to be praised in our church life, in your work tomorrow and throughout the week, willing to be praised as you lift up your experiences and your decisions to him. Why? How can you and I please him with our poor praise and our poorer lives? Because it's all through Jesus Christ, the one whose life represents us, whose death atones for us, and whose resurrection shares with us the life of God. In him we are accepted, and all our praise is acceptable to the Father who loves us. And to him, your praise is unique. There is the praise of angels and archangels and the whole host of heaven, but there is also your praise. And he waits for it. May he get it from each one of us as we praise him for the grace that we've been able to receive from others, as we praise him for the way we've been able to bring grace into their lives. Let's be moved away just for a moment from those rules of six and the distancing and the 6 months. And just remember God's rule of six, that he has enough grace for us. And he wants us to be the channels of grace to one another. And maybe we need to stop thinking about our frustrations, about the ways, the familiar structures and patterns of church life that aren't operational at the moment, and to think about the ways we can adapt. And for some of us who are quite self-contained, we adapt by opening up to someone. For some of us who've been used to serving in one particular way, we become like water that meets an obstacle and then flows around. What are you going to be? Are you going to keep banging your head against the wall of the way you can't serve in church at the moment? Or are you going to find a way of Sing another way to serve God that's different and adaptive and maybe temporary. And if you have no clue what to do, here's a suggestion. After she died, I found my mother's little, it's not a prayer diary exactly, it's a kind of prayer list to see how she organized her week in terms of praying. And it changed a little bit through the years. There was one point when she used to pray for me on Tuesday, and then she used to pray an extra prayer for me on a Saturday night for my preaching in the Sunday morning. And I think there was a big drop-off in the quality of the sermons when she stopped doing that a couple of years later. No, that's just a joke. But it was a little list of different things that she would pray each day. I'm not going to go through all of them. But one of them was simply this. Opportunities. Opportunities to spread God's love. Just asking that simply, briefly, at the beginning of each day. That was one of the things that was consistent through the changing pattern of these prayer lists that I can trace through the diary. Just saying to God at the beginning of each day, would you give me an opportunity to share your love? If at the end of the sermon you feel a bit unsure of what to do, I guess that could be a really good thing to start doing. Let's pray together. We pray for your help, Lord God. We need your grace, and we thank you that your grace is given to us abundantly. Oh Lord, we thank you for one another, and we pray that we may be able to receive from each other, and we pray we may be able to give to each other for your name's sake. And for your glory. Amen.